Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever had one of those conversations with someone close to you, mom or dad? A conversation where you really were able to get down to core values, the things that matter most in life. Sometimes these conversations happen in key moments, perhaps, of transition in life. You have a son or daughter who is getting older, maybe they're off to college pretty soon, and before they leave, you want to impart to them what really matters to you. I've taught you all sorts of things in life, son, but before you go, this is what I want you to know. Can you think of one of those conversations maybe that you've had with your son, your daughter, if you happen to be a parent, or if you're a child, one of those conversations that a parent has had with you? In those key moments, you have hundreds, maybe thousands of conversations, yet those are the ones that stick out. Those are the ones that we remember for years and years to come. This is the sixth Sunday of the Easter season. It also happens to be, as we know very well, Mother's Day. And we hear of Jesus having one of those sorts of conversations with his disciples. No doubt, Jesus had hundreds and thousands of conversations with his disciples, all of which served their purpose, all of which were important, and yet here we are at the end of his ministry in John chapter 15. It's Maundy Thursday. He's going to be going to the cross the very next day for us. And then after that, his resurrection. 40 days after that, his ascension into heaven, an event that we're going to be celebrating this coming week. Jesus knows that the time is short. And so he wants to impart to his closest followers, his disciples, a message that really matters. What parting words will he leave them? How are they meant to carry out the mission he has given them, representing him well? What will be their calling card as his followers? Certainly, Jesus is known for his miracles, for his acts of power, and his disciples will carry out some of those things in his stead. Jesus is known for his great wisdom, and his disciples will operate in their mission with the wisdom that he supplies, certainly. But there is something else, we are told, that will show the world that we are Jesus' disciples. We hear it in John chapter 15, verse 9, the first verse of our gospel reading today. Jesus says, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love." Two chapters earlier, the same conversation that took place on Maundy Thursday, Jesus had said to his disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." On the surface, that sounds pretty basic. But in truth, we are talking about something that is more powerful than anything else in the universe. Let's pay attention again to that first phrase in that first verse of our gospel reading for today. Jesus said, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you." From before the creation of the world, there was God. The triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, existing in perfect unity and in the perfect relationship of love. Jesus, from eternity, knew the perfect love of his Father. There is no greater love than that. Think about what Jesus just said here. Just as the Father has loved me, perfect love, so have I loved you. Jesus is saying that he has loved his followers, and by extension, you and me, with a divine love that predates the history of the world, that predates the creation. That is the kind of love with which you have been loved by Jesus. And God is inviting you to experience what the Trinity has known and enjoyed and experienced from forever. Perfect love. Now, the disciples no doubt thought that there were other things that were crucial to the mission, things like strategic planning, organization, a power structure, authority structure, and we hear them arguing about that throughout Jesus' ministry. Will those things come into play on occasion? Absolutely, yes. Those things can be useful and they can be helpful as we carry out our life together as the church. But at its heart, the mission of the church is summed up in trusting this love that God has shown us in Jesus and then loving one another as he has first loved us. This is the meaningful conversation that Jesus wants to have with his disciples before he goes to the cross. This is the kind of conversation that Jesus wants to have with those he no longer regards it merely as servants, but as friends. Jesus is sharing his heart with his disciples. He came for the sake of love. He laid down his life for his friends because of his great love. It's because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loves you with an unconditional, undying love. It's that simple. Question is, do you believe it? Well, for some of us, the answer is complicated. Perhaps you've gone through great difficulty recently, or maybe it's difficulty that's in your distant past, and yet it still colors your understanding of God's love for you, because you wonder if God is with you. You wonder if he's caring for you. You're wondering if you can count on him, if he even sees you. On this Mother's Day weekend, maybe you've had a difficult experience or relationship with a parent, and that relationship was not what it should be, and it, as a result, has colored your understanding of how God desires to relate to you. Or maybe you look at the evil present in the world around us. You see tragedy and struggle and suffering that others go to, and you wonder how that could possibly square with the truth of a God of unconditional love. Or maybe you are weighed down by evil that you yourself have perpetrated. You know what you have done in your life. You know how you have selfishly lived in a way that has brought destruction to some of the relationships around you. Maybe that destruction seems permanent. And you wonder how this kind of passage could possibly be applied to you, that Jesus truly loves you even as the Father has loved him. For we know how shallow our own love can be. We can think of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul says, you know, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. And in that short list, we become convicted. And we think to ourselves, okay, patience, ugh, that's hard for me. Being kind, yeah, that's not always easy. Not being easily angered, keeping no record of wrongs, I kind of like having the scoreboard around a little bit, keep track of things. And we begin to see that our own love fails to measure up to God's standard for us. We wonder at times, perhaps, if God can even tolerate such a mess, much less love one. But Jesus has demonstrated beyond the shadow of a doubt the truth of his statement that he has loved us. Two chapters earlier, John writes that Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, would now love them to the end or to the fullest extent. It depends on how you translate that last a Greek word in that sentence. The Greek word is the telos. It's a great word that talks about the end, the goal, the finish line. So Jesus, having begun his act of loving his followers, now is going to bring it to the finish line. And in fact, he's going to even say that verbally at the cross. When he has completed the greatest act of love the world has ever seen, the last thing that he's going to say from the cross, John's gospel, is, "It is finished." Tetelestai, which is a form of that word, telos. That Jesus makes it to the finish line. He loves like no one else could possibly love. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. In love, he chose you and washed you in the water of baptism. In love, he counted you his friend, though you had been at one point his enemy because of your sin. In love, he rose again for you to give you the hope and the promise of life forever with him. And in love, he says to you and to me today, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus doesn't count loving you as a burden, but as a joy. He even says so in John 15, verse 11. He says, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Jesus counts it a joy to give himself for us. We hear that in Hebrews chapter 12. "Who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross." The joy of knowing you, the joy of having you as his beloved brother, as his beloved sister, a member of his family. And he desires that we rejoice in his love as well. That joy gives us the energy to love one another well. For the sake of joy, people do hard things. Athletes will endure two-a-day practices because they actually enjoy what they do. They enjoy the game. They love it. Professional musicians will rehearse for hours because they enjoy what they do. They love their craft. Mothers will endure sleepless nights, and they will endure emotionally unstable children, and they will endure attacks on their very sanity because of the joy that comes from knowing and loving their little ones. So today, we thank God for you. We say, what a gift you are to us. Now, that doesn't mean we don't become discouraged at times. It doesn't mean that all of life feels like pure joy. But in those moments of discouragement and weariness, the gospel calls us back to a source of life and strength that we can find nowhere else but in Jesus alone. And then in him we get up one more day and we obey his command. His command in the Gospel of John is this, that we believe in the name of his Son and that we love one another. So when Jesus says, you know, keep my commandments, that's how John frames the commandments of God, to believe in the one he has sent and to love one another. And God grants us that strength to get up one more day and to serve and to love one another and to trust in him. Why? Because he has first loved us. On the night before Jesus went to the cross, he had a meaningful conversation with his closest followers, one of those conversations where he showed them what really matters. If you're a parent, perhaps There's no better opportunity than the present to have one of those conversations with your own children. Let them know what really matters to you. Let them know how much you love them and that you count it a joy to be their parent and for them to be your child. Above all, let them know how much their Savior loves them and what He has done to show it. In the name of Jesus, our King, our love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds today and always in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.